Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday, March 20th, 2007, I believe. We are supposed to have a guest here on this program tonight, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. When I started out this program a little over a year ago, I mentally made up a list of about 10 people that I knew I wanted to have as guests on the program, and I've had quite a few of those people on the program over the past year. This gentleman has not been on the program as of yet, although I was a guest on his radio program several months ago, and it's none other than Tex Mars. Many of you are familiar with Tex Mars. He's the author of numerous books, the source of countless hundreds of, I would say by this point, thousands of very fascinating cassette tapes, and I imagine by this point now CDs and certainly DVDs and VHS videos that have been in circulation around this country for a long, long time. Tex's books include Dark Secrets of the New Age, Circle of Intrigue, and a very, very big, fat, interesting, oversized book called Codex Magica. Tex has a very interesting background. He's a classic Renaissance man. Listen to this resume. He was assistant professor of aerospace studies, teaching American defense policy, strategic weapons systems, and related subjects at the University of Texas at Austin for 5 years. That makes him an expert, period, folks. He's taught international affairs, political science, and psychology for two other universities. He was a career U.S. Air Force officer, commanded communications, electronics, and engineering units. He holds a number of military decorations, including the Vietnam Service Medal. He served in Germany, Italy, and throughout Asia. He's got a very interesting newsletter, Power of Prophecy, that has just been distributed worldwide. I first became aware of Tex years ago when I was working for the Spotlight, when people would send his newsletter in, and I learned one heck of a lot from it. He also has his own popular shortwave radio program, Power of Prophecy. And his website, it's a very easy website to remember, is powerofprophecy.com. What inspired me to have Tex on tonight is the release of a new book that he has written the foreword to and he is the publisher of, although he is not the author. The book is entitled The Synagogue of Satan. The author is an English gentleman named Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. The Synagogue of Satan's subtitle is very provocative, The Secret History of Jewish World Domination. This is a pretty big book, folks. It's 315 pages. It's got an index. It covers very wide-ranging history, bullet after bullet, year after year, event after event. And I want to tell you something. It is a virtual handbook to the dirty underbelly, the secret history of our times. Okay, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here, courtesy of Headache Stay Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. Get your pen and paper out handy. Folks, we're going to give you more information about this book, The Synagogue of Satan, and about Headache Stay Gone.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We're waiting for the arrival of our guest tonight, Tex Mars. In the meantime, I will just tell you a little bit about Tex's book, Codex Magica. Not really the subject of discussion tonight, but if he wants to talk about it, or if you want to talk about it, we can. His book, Codex Magica, is very, very interesting because it is an amazing compilation of pictures taken from mainstream publications showing the repeated use of strange symbols that are of a Masonic and what we can best call satanic nature, that are obviously very deliberately posed and or deliberately selected by the editors of nationwide newspapers and magazines, sending out a very clear message that there are indeed secret societies operating in our world today. You know, I seldom talk about these secret societies, mainly because I don't consider myself an expert on the subject, but I'll tell you what, Tex Mars is an expert on the subject, and we can get into that with him here on the program tonight. It's one of those subject areas that goes off into a realm beyond what's happening here in our day-to-day existence. And there's a lot of people, you know, who don't want to believe in the occult. They don't want to believe in the supernatural, you know. And A lot of people will say that just even discussing it in and of itself is satanic, but, you know, as I always point out, you cannot believe in God as a Christian without believing in the existence of Satan, that is, the devil, and of a nether world and of other forces at work in our world today. And, you know, as I say, I write about things like the Mossad and the Israeli lobby and political corruption, all of which often ties together, and you find the same forces always interacting together, but, you know, it goes a lot deeper. And, you know, there's no question about the fact that people in high places over the years have dabbled in the occult. And, you know, how you define the occult is somewhat difficult. I wouldn't even want to try to define it myself. You know, there's areas such as astrology, and I've talked about this on the program before, there's areas such as astrology which have been studied and practiced by hundreds of, not thousands, I should say thousands of people over the thousands of years. It's an old science that goes back. And some years ago, I had an astrologer contact me, someone who had read my book, and he did my charts. And it's amazing, folks. I can tell you that, and I've mentioned this before, there were certain very specific things that he indicated that would happen to me, or things, developments in my career and in my life that happened almost to the day in some cases. Now, these were not things that he could have had any way of knowing about or logically predicting. So, you know, I said, hey, there is definitely something to this. And of course, as you know, some of the big, powerful leaders of the world have practiced astrology or have contacted astrologers, you know, ranging from Winston Churchill to Franklin Roosevelt to Adolf Hitler to Ronald Reagan. And, you know, although everybody always says that it was Nancy Reagan who was big on astrology, my sources tell me that, in fact, it was Ronald Reagan who was the one who was particularly into astrology. And it was kind of the cover story that it was Nancy. You know, she was often painted as kind of a frivolous socialite type. But, no, it was Ronald Reagan himself who was into astrology. So, like I say, that's an area of a particular interest that's kind of, I guess you might say, occult. Another area, of course, that's somewhat, I don't want to call it mystical, somewhat mysterious. It borders on the occult, but it also borders on the scientific. And a lot of times those things merge because, you know, science folks comes from the earth, and the earth was created by God. And that's that area of remote viewing, this idea that people can sit down somewhere and, you know, by going through a particular process, they're able to view things that are happening in other places. And, of course, we know that the intelligence agencies have done extensive experimentation with this. There's no question about it that there is a science there. Things like this do work. You know, not everybody can do it. It's not foolproof, but, you know, there's enough evidence there that enough people, ranging from our good friends, the Israelis, to the Soviet Union, to certainly our own CIA, have experimented in this realm. So, again, you know, this is an area that should not be dismissed. Now, I'm looking at the clock here, and I'm beginning to wonder if I'm mistaken, and if indeed it was tonight that Tex Mars was supposed to join us. He apparently has not called in yet, so I'm thinking either he made a mistake or I made a mistake, but if he doesn't show up tonight, we'll get him one other evening. But I hope he does arrive sooner or later. In the meantime, we're working towards a break here, and I'm just going to continue on this course discussing this area of the occult, because, you know, the occult, you know, strange science, things of this nature, you know, we hear about UFOs, a lot of these things that people don't want to talk about. A lot of times people say you shouldn't discuss UFOs because if the UFOs are from other planets, there's nothing we can do about it. And that's absolutely correct. That's one reason why, for example, the Spotlight newspaper seldom, if ever, touched on the subject of UFOs because, like Willis Carto, the publisher, always said, he said, if the Martians really are out there sending people down here, it really doesn't affect us politically, at least so far as we know, and there's not much we can do about it. Now, the flip side of that, of course, is that there's a lot of people who have studied this area extensively over the years, who believe that these unidentified flying objects, these vehicles that are in our skies, are actually of the Earth, created through extensive scientific research. And we do know that Nazi Germany, for example, was engaged in research in areas regarding what we know of as flying saucers. And, you know, after World War II, when the United States and Britain and the Soviet Union busted into Germany, and they seized a lot of their files, they seized a lot of their financial records, their scientific records, they stole the actually stole a lot of German scientific secrets and patents and so forth. I'm going to have my friend John DeNugent on the show one night to talk about that subject area. He knows a little bit about that, quite a bit about that, in fact. This is an area, again, where there's a lot of things that we don't hear about, and we don't know exactly what the Germans did or did not accomplish, but we know that the United States grabbed everything they could. So, like I say, these are areas that are very sensitive from a lot of standpoints because a lot of people don't want to talk about them. They think they're out of this world or beyond the pale. I don't think so. I've read quite a bit about these subject areas myself over the years, and you know, it's hard to say if you have any firm opinions on them one way or the other if you don't have a lot of scientific background, but you know, you get a gut instinct about these things. And as I've said, I have had my own experiences in my life, quite a few of them, that lead me to believe that there is indeed a world beyond this. And you know, to say that there is a world beyond this is not that extraordinary, again, if you're a Christian, because that's one of the foundations of Christianity, as I read it, that there is indeed a world beyond. And just because the Bible gives an interpretation of it that many, many people have different interpretations thereof, doesn't mean that there's anybody here on the face of this earth who knows exactly what does exist beyond life as we know it. And of course, as I understand it, not being a scientific person, time and time again over the years, scientists continue to learn more about the universe and more about human life. And, you know, it's not all so cut and dried. That's why, you know, just as you have to keep your mind open about things such as 9-1-1 and the Oklahoma City bombing and the Kennedy assassination and all of these things that people spin conspiracy theories or conspiracy facts about, you know, things that most Americans have never heard of, we have to keep our minds open about things that maybe we're not exactly familiar with. There's been a lot of people in this world who believe that they've seen ghosts. Likewise, there's a lot of people who've never seen a ghost or what they would think is a ghost, and they probably never will. But I do know that there's been a lot of people who'd never believed in ghosts until they saw something that was certainly beyond their daily recognition. So that's what it all comes down to, folks, when all is said and done, keeping an open mind. Well, we haven't heard from Tex Mars yet, so I think we're probably just going to go right to the phones when we come back, and we'll see what happens. This is Michael Collins Piper, coming to you courtesy of Headaches Dagon, the all-natural cure for headaches. Check it out on the Internet at headachesdagon.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com. at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you from Washington, which is the headquarters of American Free Press. If you are not familiar with American Free Press, you can check out a sampling of it on the website at AmericanFreePress.net. Okay, we have quite a few callers up here, so I'm just going to go ahead with the callers. It doesn't look like Tex Mars is going to be with us this evening. As I say, I don't know if I got my dates wrong or if there was some problem and Tex couldn't make it, but we'll figure it out one way or the other. All right, let's go to John in New Mexico. John, are you there?
Yes, hi, Michael.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that you were going to have Tex Mars on, even though he didn't make it. But I know you're kind of a facts and figures type of guy, at least from what I read in your book, Final Judgment. And but I know you also said that you had some experiences with psychic.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. And I know what I experienced, and I know that there were situations that, well, it's too hard to get into without going into the details. But anyway.
Well, Goldman Sachs uses psychics, or at least they used to. And so for those people who don't think there's anything to it, I would come back and say, well, why is Goldman Sachs spending money on something like that if there's zero utility to it?
Yeah, that's a good, I mean, look, let's, you know,
throw money down a rat hole that's not a, you know, an institution that's going to throw money away.
Right, exactly. I can't think of a better example that illustrates precisely how much very influential people who have a lot at stake, very influential, very powerful people who have a lot at stake do rely upon things like this. And as I say, a lot of people want to poo-poo it and say, oh, well, those are old wives' tales, and that's nonsense. Well, I guess all I have to say is that until you've experienced it yourself and had other independent ways of verifying things that you felt or heard or seen, you know, then I guess that's when people maybe come around.
Right. Well, another example of it. It isn't really a proof of the existence of it, but one time years back, I used to be a stockbroker, and we had to get to know our customers for our company because we didn't want to lose the customers. And one of the gentlemen that I got to know was a Mason. And I'd asked him about, I didn't know that much about it, and I asked him, you know, how does one become a Mason? Because he was one of the bigger customers that we had, and I was interested in maybe getting more business, and I knew he was successful, and he was, I think, a dentist. And he told me, well, all you have to do is come on down, and I'll introduce you to some people, and he did that. And I went into the lodge, and I noticed, you know, a pentagram on the wall. Of course, I didn't say anything, but there was that, and there was an altar. And I got to thinking, you know, why are these people who are educated, successful, many are educated and successful, why would they be spending their time with these rituals if there's zero power involved there?
Another good point, exactly.
This guy was one of the biggest customers we had, and he was no dummy. And he was going to, you know, the Blue Lodge, and he was going to the Scottish Rite and the York Rite. And why would he be spending, you know, 2-3 nights a week? I'm sure he had better things he could be doing than going to Masonic meetings if there was no, like, occult advantage there.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, you know, that's interesting because, you know, a lot of people say, well, people join the Masons because they're good business contacts. Well, that's true. But the thing about it is, the question then arises, and you've raised the question here, that is, why would they waste their time on all of these rituals when they could just as easily sit down and engage in insider trading without all of the rituals and so forth?
Right.
They don't need to go to a lodge to do that, and yet there is this element there. I can tell you that a very good friend of mine, whose books are familiar to readers of American Free Press, Matthias Chang, he grew up, he's a Malaysian, but he was educated in England, and one of his closest friends growing up was the son of the Grand Master of all the British lodges, and Matthias himself was initiated into the Masons and subsequently broke with them. And one of the most chilling things that Matthias ever told me was this. He said, you've heard about the dark side of Freemasonry. He said, I've seen it. And I've heard enough stories like this from enough sources that I'm familiar with that I do believe there is much more to Freemasonry. This is not to suggest that everybody who is a Mason involved in this any more than every Jew involved in all these, in Zionism, for example. Well, listen, John, hang on for the break if you'd like. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, courtesy of Headaches Day Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. As I always tell you folks, it works.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player.
Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We got a whole load of callers here. We're going to try to get through everybody tonight. And incidentally, I'm going to be a guest on Rick Adams' show after my program, so you're going to have to listen to a couple more hours of me, I'm sorry to say. All right, we have John in New Mexico. John, before we move on, did you have anything further you wanted to say?
Yeah, let me just say one more thing, then I'll go, because I know you have other people that want to talk to you. I was wondering if, well, I didn't know if Mark Glenn would be a person that could add to this, because I know he's knowledgeable in some of these areas, too. Maybe not as much as Tex Mars, but I was reading about, like, apostate Judaism and apostate Catholicism and Masonry and the Illuminati, and there's some kind of connection there with the Kabbalah and this occult-type stuff, and I know, like, you and Jim from Texas want to kind of see the facts and figures, and I know that especially Jim, and he's great, by the way, that the gentleman that calls in, he should have his own show.
Jim will appreciate that, all right?
Too. I mean, he should have his own show. But I wonder if, like, Tex Mars or Mark Glenn or someone, so you could get a guest that could maybe try to tie together those, because there's definitely something there with the Illuminati and when they were formed and the Rothschilds and all that, and I think Rick Adams might have had someone on month or so ago that was kind of talking a little bit about that, but I think that'd be interesting.
Well, you know, that's an interesting area. Mark and I have touched on that in personal conversations. I think that'd be a great idea to have Mark and I talk about that one night, because Mark is a very spiritual person, and I think that's a good idea, so I'll set that up. But I know Tex can fill us in a lot more on it, so we'll pursue it further.
Hey, one last thing, Michael.
Go ahead.
A long time ago, I had to order your book, Final Judgment, because I couldn't find it at the bookstore, so I ordered it, and it was maybe a week or so later they called me, and I went in to pick it up, and the gentleman behind the counter I'd never seen before, and he was, like, scowling at me like, you know, you'd think he'd be happy to be selling a book, and it was in an area where they probably didn't want that kind of thing known. But at any rate, he was acting as though, I mean, I got a real uncomfortable feeling that he wasn't happy about.
Well, you know what? That's why I always tell people, don't put my book on your coffee table.
No, well, that's when I knew that there was something in that book that was pretty good, because I knew he didn't want me reading it, and so I was right.
I always take that as a compliment when somebody doesn't want my book to be read, because it means it must say something that somebody somewhere doesn't want to be heard.
Well, that Alan Jones, his book that had the summaries of about 12 or 14 books in there, How the World Really Works.
Good book, yeah.
How I got to know about your book, and then from there I actually read Dark Majesty, Tex Mars.
Tex Mars' book, exactly, yeah.
So that was a good lead-in. I don't know if you're going to have Jones on your show, but he'd be another person.
Alan doesn't like to do radio shows. He's a good man. He's a great writer, but he says radio shows are not his bag.
Okay, he might have a hideous voice like me.
So. No, you don't, and he doesn't, but he just doesn't like to do radio.
Okay, I'll get off, because I know you have other people.
All right, John, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go to Frank in Louisiana. Frank, are you there? Frank in Louisiana. Going once, going twice. Okay, we lost Frank. All right. We have Mike in Canada. Mike, why don't you come on up?
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
Very well. I bring you greetings from the People's Republic of Absurdistan.
Okay.
Once again, and I have some quotes, if you could bear with me. It would tie in with your potential guest tonight. It actually ties in with your irate caller last night. And
oh, okay.
The Tower 7 fixation, but we're dealing with men in black robes, and we're dealing with uninvestigated crime scenes, and I think this is right up your alley. I'm going to quote Judge Meinzerhagen now, and this is straight from the Zundel trial before his conviction. Such a significant and at the same time sensible topic as the investigation of the walls of the gas chambers, to achieve a convincing result would require an independent commission of experts in the field of science. They would have to be of different nations and of different disciplines to avoid suspicions of untrustworthiness. That is to say, Your Honor, that the crime scene has never been investigated. Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. That is really the core of the issue, at least as I see it in the mythological and the theological realm, that actually transcends 9/11, because nobody's going to go to jail, as far as I know, for questioning the official story or not. Here we have an issue that is putting people in prison, and I really think that that would have tied in with your guest tonight and the potential subject matter.
It's interesting you bring this up, because there's a case being argued before the Supreme Court right now over the political and First Amendment rights of students in their different schools.
Right.
Some young man, I believe in Colorado, it doesn't really matter where it was, some high school here in the United States, held up a sign, something along the lines of saying, take a bong hit for Jesus. Well, that's a statement like that is inflammatory in a number of realms. Number one, it raises the name of Jesus and it offends people, particularly because it links Jesus to drug use. And for those who don't know what a bong is, that's an instrument to smoke marijuana.
Sure.
You know, well, what's happening now is that they're arguing that students' rights to speak out should be limited when it comes to questions of talking about drugs. Well, I don't advocate drug use. And I have mixed feelings about the laws regarding marijuana and so forth. I go back and forth on that. But my concern in an area like that is that if they start taking away students' rights in the area of something like, you know, talking about a bong hit,
right,
what's the next step? Are they going to start saying students should not be allowed to question the Holocaust, or students shouldn't be allowed to question U.S. foreign policy? I mean, I thought academic institutions at all levels were places where people should be able to have open discourse. So, but then people come back and say, well, they shouldn't be allowed to make fun of Jesus, or they shouldn't be allowed to tell people to take bong hits. And that's where the problem begins. There's this issue of freedom of speech. And I just see any attempt to ban freedom of speech, unless it's an area like, we're talking about, child pornography. That's beyond the realm of any freedom of speech. That's a crime.
Yeah, that will put your millstone around your neck. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's just an absolute crime, But
it's open season on Jesus.
Oh, exactly. It is open season on Jesus. That's right. I mean, that's exactly right. Jesus and Muhammad, it's open season.
Well, I made my point, and
all right,
thank you for the time.
All right. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's go to, we have another caller from Canada. We got Byron in Canada. Byron, come on up.
Yeah, Mike.
How are you, Byron?
Good. You know, one thing I noticed about your callers, and I wish I could was in that category, they are really well informed and they can speak very well. But yeah, I got a couple things, maybe off the subject a little bit.
Well, there's no real subject here tonight. Go ahead.
Well, as I told you, I just kind of discovered you here about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and I've been listening quite a bit up here in Canada. This is still got snow on the ground. We'll be getting ready for our farming here the next month, probably. So
you're out there in Western Canada, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I get a lot of time after I do my chores and whatever to come and listen to you. But there's some problems that I have with some of the other shows, and maybe you can help me out. I was listening to, and I can't even think of his name, but he had a guy on there named Eric Phelps.
Okay.
And he was going on, and this guy, as far as I could tell, he hates everybody.
I know he hates me, but other than that.
then maybe I'm not too far off then. But anyhow, his big thing is the Jesuits and the Catholic, the Pope and whatever. And, and I look at things realistically. And I look at, what's going on in the world today. I mean, these guys are going back reading books, 200 years ago and what was said 200 years ago. And, and maybe it was relevant then. I don't know. But I'm looking at what's going on today. And, as far as the Catholic, my wife is Catholic. And, she's not over. She's sort of like me. I was raised a Nazarene, but I can't really say I'm a good Nazarene anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And same with my wife as a Catholic. But anyhow, I don't see the Catholics or the Pope, especially the previous Pope, the one that just passed away here not too long ago. I never seen them really getting involved in politics, and I never seen them going around there getting countries to go in there to, go to war with other countries for them. And I have problems, maybe the Jesuits are bad. I don't know anything about them, so I can't say.
Well, I'll tell you, Byron, now this is an interesting area. I just had a discussion with an academic type about this the other day. And, with Mr. Phelps, I was engaged in a debate with him on a program here in this network during the last year. And my primary focus was what Mr. Phelps had written about the JFK assassination, and I can tell you that, he was saying that the Jesuits were ultimately behind the JFK assassination, and what he used as evidence for that was not based in fact.
Yeah.
So my question then came out to Mr. Phelps. I said to Mr. Phelps, I said, if I know for a fact that what you've written about the alleged Jesuit involvement in the JFK assassination, I know that those things are wrong, so therefore I have to question how much of your research about Jesuit involvement in other areas is incorrect.
Yeah.
And I think your point is well taken that, I know a lot of good, solid traditionalist Catholics like Mark Glenn, who was on this show last night, and Jim Condit, who's been on this show. They are ready and willing and very openly critical of the Vatican because of things that the Vatican has done during the last 25 years that they believe are contradictory to traditional Catholic doctrine.
Right.
And, you know, that may, some people may look at that as an internal Catholic matter. In some respects, it is. However, if the Catholic doctrine has been twisted and the Catholic Church is then engaged today in things that do affect the course of international affairs, then the Vatican is open to criticism. So, you know, like I say, it's an area that it's a difficult area. But I think your basic point is well taken, that, you know, what we need to focus on is really what is happening today, what has happened within our recent history. And then we can make judgments on that, because if the Catholic Church is doing something today that is inimical to the interests of Catholics or to the world at large, then we'll criticize them. And when I say we, I mean everybody who has reason to make a public statement about any particular issue.
Well, I had problems. I mean, when it came out about all the priests and what they were doing to little kids for the last, I don't know, 50, 75, maybe 100 years. I mean, up here in Canada, I was born in Kansas myself. I know I've been up here about 40 years, but I mean, a lot of the Indian reservations up here, well, it was, you know, the Catholics went in there, and I mean, you can take a look at a lot of the little, or the native people that's on these reservation, and you know, you can obviously tell the priest was doing more than just ministering to them.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, if those Indians or any parents caught any of those priests doing things they shouldn't have, I would find it difficult to criticize any families that got the guns out.
Well, there was some lawsuits and there were settlements over it up here. But I mean, the thing is that you can say that about every religion.
Every religion, exactly.
I was raised a Nazarene, and I don't think there's any higher standard than the Nazarenes. But I mean, take a look at what happened out in Colorado with that Ted. Was it Ted Haggard?
Ted Haggard, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you can look at Jimmy Swaggart. You can look at Jim Baker. Crouch, the guy on that Trinity broadcast, and there was rumors about him that he was involved with some gay things. He kind of poo-pawed it, and it kind of went away. I mean, you can take a look at, look at Falwell and Robertson. Man, I tell you what, they preach, it sure wasn't the way I was raised and brought up to think, you know, and they're putting themselves off as Christians.
You know, that's the whole thing. You know, I mean, I just pointed out here in the program the other night that even the group of mostly former Catholics, people who were victimized by Catholic priests, they have, and they've taken on the Catholic Church head on, but they have also now called upon the Southern Baptists to take equal action, because apparently there's a similar problem among the Southern Baptists that hasn't received as widespread a publicity as the problems in the Catholic Church.
Well, yeah, so, but this felt that he started on the Muslims, and like I said, you know, I've been to a mosque for a funeral once or twice, and that's about my extent, you know, with him. But what I kind of have been able to find out, I tell you, the true Muslim, they're not all that far from the way that I was brought up as a Nazarene. I mean, you know, they say in the Muslim religion how the women are sort of second-class citizens. Well, you know, I'll tell you, when I grew up, you never seen any woman wearing a dress that almost wasn't to her ankles. They couldn't wear any tight jeans, at least in the town. You didn't go to any movies, no dancing, and certainly no drinking. Now, I tell you what, that ain't too darn far what the Muslims are preaching today.
Byron, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean,
I'm not saying it's right. I know times change, but you know, the thing that kind of gets me when I, you know, they go, well, you got to change with times. Well, if Jesus wanted the Bible to be changed the way he, you know, supposed to have been written and whatever, I think he would have said, well, now you got to change as time goes on to make these changes. And it seems like, you know, the way the Muslims are, well, you know, they do look, you know, like they're way behind the other places, but isn't that staying more true maybe to the word of Jesus and then the way we're trying to change the way we think or trying to meet the today's demand in society? I don't know. Like I said, if Jesus said something 2,000 years ago, well, I think, you know, maybe it still should be good today.
Well, you know, if you look at it just from a practical standpoint, putting all philosophy and history aside, there's no question about it that since 9/11, the mass media has been infatuated with the subject of Islam and has done its damnedest to paint Islam as the ultimate enemy of Christianity. And yet, as I pointed out here in the program the other night, these Iranian Muslims who are interested in this theory of the 12th Imam coming back at a time which would be equivalent to the Christian concept of Armageddon, these Muslims believe that the 12th Imam is going to appoint Jesus Christ as his emissary on earth. So that kind of raises some doubts about the legend that Islam is hostile to Jesus Christ. Byron, thanks for your call. We're wrapping up the hour. We'll be able to squeeze in one more caller when we come back. This is Michael Collins, Piper.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge.
Yeehaw!
That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information.
Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, folks, welcome back. We are wrapping up this hour. And just to remind you, I'm going to be the guest on Rick Adams' show, which immediately follows this one. So if for some strange reason you continue to wish to hear the sound of my voice for the next hour or so, feel free to stay tuned. Right here on RBN. Okay, we have, our next caller here is someone who was mentioned by one of our previous callers. Our previous caller said that Jim from Texas should have his own show here in the network. Jim from Texas, if this is the Jim from Texas, come on up.
This is the Jim from Texas, and Mike, you made a terrible mistake. You started off your show by waxing philosophically about different points, and I'd like you to ponder this question and maybe take it into the next hour. Let's suppose, for argument's sake, that the human brain is not an originator of thought, but merely a tuner. Now, what possibilities does that involve? You know, we're not. Our brain is merely a tuner because we all know that we're a combination of a chemical and electrical responses. That's how we operate. That's what we are.
Exactly.
So, but what if our brain was merely a tuner? Think about that. Oh, but by the way, a tuner not controlled by Abe Foxman, where he determines how far on the dial you go, which this way and that way. I mean an actual tuner where most people are limited to AM, some people get AM, FM, and some people get satellite radio.
Exactly, exactly.
Supposedly, if the brain's a tuner, then that would explain it. To me, anyway, it's just a thought.
No, that's a very interesting thought. And, you know, I'll tell you, that is more and more as I've gotten older and read more and more about some of these other areas outside our basic realm. You know, you find a lot of very scientific people. You know, a lot of people have the impression that people who are scientific disregard the spiritual and vice versa. But as I've gotten older, I find that that's not the case at all. And that more and more people are beginning to realize that, you know, we are creatures of God. We are creatures, you know.
Right. They all tie in together.
Exactly.
If you look at it from that aspect, it all ties in together. We are merely a tuner. There's somebody out there that tuned us in our whole lives. We were born, and our brain developed, and the tuner developed, without Abe Foxman's help, by the way. It developed. But some people can only hear AM or FM, and some people can hear it all. And some people can hear things that I can't imagine how they could possibly do it, like Edgar Cayce and people like that. You can't imagine. I can't imagine it. But if you look at it as a tuner, maybe some people got a much better tuner.
That's a good, you know, Jim, I hate to use the word nice, but that's a nice, down-to-earth, logical, spiritual and scientific way of looking at the way things work and how we learn and how we discover things here in this existence that we know of here on planet Earth.
Or we can look at Larry Silverstein, explain to him why Building 7 fell, and believe every word he says. We have a choice. Either our tuners work or they don't work.
That's
the way
right.
We look at it.
And for the record, for Bob from Washington, who says that Mark Glenn and I are covering up about what happened to Building 7, we've mentioned Building 7 here tonight on the show.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up if it's a sore point, but it
no,
is a good point.
No, this is an open forum, and we need to investigate Building 7.
Bob is right about one thing. It is a point that nobody can explain. He's right about that.
That's right. All right, Jim. Thanks for your call,
hey,
as
I'll
always.
I'll call you on Rick Adams. I love
all right.
Rick Adams. I listen every night.
All right. We'll be there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your calls. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up. Hopefully we'll have Tech Mars here real soon. And I'll see you shortly on Rick Adams' program. Stay tuned.